Hi, this is Steve Spangler from SteveSpanglerScience.com. You know, I've got the greatest job in the world, teaching people how to be amazing. Join me as we explore some of the secrets that I've recently uncovered on my search for how to be an amazing teacher. There are three words that you can utter that will change the look on a teacher's face and change the look on a parent's face. And if you can say it at the same time and a teacher and a parent gets to hear you at the same time, well, watch the reaction. Those three words are science, fair, project. That's it. Because when you say science, fair, project to a teacher, you can just see the beads of sweat start to appear on the forehead. They know they've been there. They know how hard it is. They know that it's going to be a crunch. They know that they're going to get 23 projects done by the parents, and somehow they're going to be presented. And you look at the parent, and the parent knows, oh, I know my son or daughter's not going to do this project. I'm going to end up having to do it, and what a hassle. And so, unfortunately, science fairs have become a burden instead of the opportunity that they really need to be. And over the years, I've had my fair share of kickoff assemblies, schools that will call and say, could you come and help us get kids excited about the science fair? Well, the problem is never getting kids excited about the science fair. The problem is getting teachers and parents on board when it comes to the science fair. So I've seen many changes over the last 14 or 15 years. I've seen lots of schools change from a science fair to a invention convention, so to speak, an opportunity for kids to be able to share their latest and greatest inventions using science as the, of course, the underlying current, so to speak, that allows kids to be able to share their discoveries. For example, Jay Leno has popularized these kids' inventions, and David Letterman has kid scientists on, and they're kids that have won these contests, the Toshiba contest, for example, or the Toyota contest, or the Radio Shack contest, where they have to use some sort of parts, you know, the buzzer, and they have to use the motors, and they come up with this incredible invention. And these invention conventions have become extremely popular because it's not a competition anymore. It's a way for a child to be able to be creative versus having to do an experiment and prove something. Now, as a science teacher, you have to understand that there's truly a difference there. An invention convention is a demonstration. It's a display of your ability to be able to create, but not necessarily to problem solve. Not all invention conventions start with a problem and they come up with a solution. So from a truly technical standpoint, we kind of want kids to be able to do both, to get excited possibly in the younger years of doing an invention convention, and maybe when they get to third, fourth, or fifth grade to be able to do a science fair project. But when it comes to science fair projects, I firmly believe that if we're going to require kids to do a science fair project, then we have to require teachers to model the science fair project. And in districts that I have served as a consultant for where the science fair is not just a desire, it's mandated by the Board of Education that this is one of the elements of learning that kids will go through, many times people will ask, how can we do a science fair that is embraced by everyone? And the way that we've kind of come up with that is to allow teachers to be able to model the science fair process for kids. So if the science fair is going to be in February, then the teacher starts in December with the principal going around to each room and having them pull the topic out of the hat, and that is their topic. And the teacher actually, in front of the kids over the course of the next 6 or 8 weeks, is able to show them how he or she would research that, how they would come up with a hypothesis, what they want to learn, the experiment that they might be able to perform on this particular the topic, how they would gather their data, how they organize their data, what the chart might look like, how to fill out the presentation board, and finally how to come up with their conclusion, their discovery, and in fact, how to be truthful when it comes to the discovery as well, because let's face it, the plant dies most of the time. You feed it vinegar and it dies, and we have to be able to model and teach kids that all the science experiments don't come out the way that the book says they're supposed to. And one of the greatest learning experiences that we can have with a science fair is being able to learn from those failures and be able to communicate that. So from a science fair standpoint, watching teachers model it and then having children follow that with their own science fair project has proven to be very, very successful in districts throughout Florida, for example, that require a science fair, and they've seen very, very positive results when we do something as simple as modeling so that children understand what the expectations are, how they'll be evaluated, and most importantly, where they need to go to be successful with a science fair project. Now it's time for you to learn how to do something truly amazing by visiting stevespanglerscience.com or catch my weekly audio and video blogs at stevespangler.com. One word of warning, just watch out for those flying potatoes.